This is Living with Lions.
Hi, I'm Brian. I play bass in A Will I'm Scream.
We're the Class War Kids, and we have ruined the grind on Punk Radio Cast. But that's what you're checking out.
What else was I supposed to say?
We're on the Famous Friends and Fashion Pelts Tour.
Sponsored by PRC. Holla.
And you're listening to The Grind
on PunkRadioCast.com. Ow!
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, weighing in with four interviews, two from the mailbox featured artists, and a whole lot of music, The Grind, Volume 24, number 24, the Famous Friends and Class War Kids edition. Name does not do it justice. There's a whole lot of stuff coming at
you. We're going to change the format on you a little bit here. We're going to do two interviews, then we're going to toss the From the Mailbox feature right in the middle. And then, in the last part of the show, we've got some stuff with Living with Lions and A Wilhelm Scream. Backtracking a little bit. The From the Mailbox segment, we are going to be playing in its entirety a wicked band out of Germany called The Fine Prince. They've just recently released an EP, and it is called Exercising Exorcism. We've got some wicked music from a Toronto band called Rackshot. That's coming up there. Before we get into that, we are going to be talking to another Toronto band called The Late Fallen. And following that, an interview that we did back in Edmonton with the Class War Kids. I think you guys are going to like a lot of what we are bringing to the table for you today. Also, just because we always like talking about what's coming up here on The Grind and Punk Radio Cast, I don't know if you've heard, but The Real Mackenzies have a new album. And they're going to be playing some dates across Canada in the very near future. So I was thinking maybe we'd give someone a call from The Real Mackenzies and see what's coming up. And we will be doing something with them at the start of September. So look for that a little bit later in September to hit the airwaves. But yeah, let's see if we can get Paul Mackenzie from The Real Mackenzies on the line. And see what's coming up with them.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Not
too bad. This is Chris with Punk Radio Cast. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good to hear. So we're just going to do a quick little promo here before we catch up with you when you play Saskatoon. You guys are headed out on tour in the very, very near future. Where all are you going?
We're going from here to Halifax and back, and we're going to do one sort of a gig one way, and then I think it's all the smaller towns one way, and then later on in the season when everybody comes back to go to school and stuff like that, we'll hit the bigger places.
Sounds good. You guys excited about touring Canada again?
Well, you know, there's something really cool about touring small towns in Canada. Like, we don't forget Scarborough or Timmins or, and then, you know, other places. It's kind of cool. I always make sure I drop by Wawa. You ever been there?
I can't say that I have.
Well, if you ever go there, go to the general store and pick up some of that salami.
Good suggestion. Now, you guys have a new album out as well, Off the Leash. This of course, is a tour to support that. How has that been received so far?
Well, everybody in Europe likes it, and I've been getting some pretty okay reviews. Of course, not everyone's going to like it, but you have to take that into consideration. You know, it's got a few different flavors to it, and at least one of them appeals to somebody, you know?
Excellent.
Thanks for the call, and I'll make sure that everything goes good. Until I see ya.
Sounds good. I'll see you then.
All right. Take care.
All right. Have a good one. We'll be right back.
dancing with guns. Austro-Hungarian impact again. They fought through the night like a devil at dawn. The enemy captured or dead on the ground. It wasn't achieved without terrible loss. Posthumous award, a victorious cross. They were the lads who fought and won. They were the lads who fought and won. They were the lads who fought and won. They were the lads who fought.
Hi, is Vanya there?
Yeah, speaking.
We are on the phone with Vanya Jakul, a gentleman from a band in Toronto called Late Fallen. Vanya, how are you doing today?
I'm not too bad, thanks a lot. And you guys?
Very, very good. Now, you're the guitarist in the band.
Yes, I am.
What are some of the other individuals' names?
The band is, we're a four-piece. The singer is Stefan Lacasse.
Mm-hmm.
Bass player is Greg Wolf, and our drummer is Bob Honest-Q.
How long have you guys been around for?
We've been around for about 3 years or so, about 3-4 years. Some of us have known each other for a while, used to play in some other bands, and just kind of known each other from around the city, but we have been together as this unit for about 3 years now.
Okay. Now, I understand you have a new album out.
The record is titled The Bloody Kiss. We released it on Early Rising Records, which is our own label. And, it came out in sometimes in May, beginning of May this year, and it's been doing really, really good so far.
I understand you also have a video that you've shot for Bloody Kiss.
That's right. Yeah, that was a title track for the record and the single. So we shot the video for that sometimes in the beginning of the year, and that's now on much music, much loud MTV, and all the appropriate TV channels.
Sweet. Now, is this your first video that you guys have had a chance to produce?
That's right. It's our first one, and actually, as a matter of fact, last week we just shot the video for our second single. And so they're going to be working on that while we are on tour. And when we get back, it's probably going to be, I'm assuming, hitting the radio and TV waves sometimes in October or sometime. I'm assuming sometimes in October.
And what track was that for?
It's for the track called The Fly.
The Fly, okay. Now I understand, speaking of tour, you guys are kicking it off tomorrow.
That's right, yeah, tomorrow. We're just kind of scrambling today, trying to get last-minute things and organized and packing and getting everything going. So, yeah, tomorrow we head out, and we go away to toward East Coast first, and we come back in the beginning of September for a couple of days back home.
Okay.
And then we are then leaving toward West Coast, toward Vancouver, and then back, I think, sometimes in the end of September.
Okay. Now, by the time this this interview is airing, we'll be in the Maritimes at this time.
That's right, yeah.
And then making your way back back west.
That's right, yeah.
Excellent. Now, have you guys done a big tour like this before across Canada or into the States or anything like that?
Actually, no, we haven't. We did about a 2.5-week stint in the East Coast in the beginning of the May, just when the record would release the record. It was just a small tour. We just wanted to kind of get things going and warm up and get a bunch of shows under our belt and get back into the tour shape and tour vibe, as we call it, prep our livers. And so we kind of did that. We got back. We played a bunch of select shows throughout Ontario and showcases and stuff like that. And now we're officially kicking off our Canadian tour. And then we also have another tour in the works, hopefully for about a couple months, sometimes in a, I'm not sure if it's going to be early year or end late this year, but it's going to be probably about 2 months in the U.S.
No, I understand you have a few bands that you'll be touring along with you.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell me a little bit about those
East
guys?
Yeah, East Coast, we're touring with a band called Mad Cowboys, and we're going to do a bunch of shows with them, really, really cool guys. And then when we head out out west, we are parting ways with Mad Cowboys, and we're being joined by a Vancouver band called Beyond the Fall.
Mm-hmm.
And a band called Jar. They're an East Coast band, but I think they're located in Toronto right now, so the three of us are going to head out and do the West Coast together.
Right on. Now, I understand that your album was, you had a gentleman by the name of Michael Barbiero who did some work on that.
That's right.
How was that experience?
Yeah, we were really lucky. It was I was actually lucky enough to end up engineering and producing the record, and then when it came down to mixing, I really wanted to kind of take a step back just because I was so involved with doing everything from writing to recording to producing to everything. Mm-hmm. I just really wanted to step back and have somebody else's input. And through a good friend of ours who knows Michael, he sent him the tracks, and Michael seemed really interested, and he was really, really into it. So we worked out a little deal with him, and I was really, really stoked to have somebody like that
make my
record because I'm a big, huge fan of his. And the records that he's done, you know, obviously, you know, he's done one of my favorite records of all time, which is Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction.
Exactly.
And he worked on Metallica and Maroon 5 and...
Done some stuff with Anthrax as well.
So many different records.
Yeah.
And it was just such an honor to have a, you know, to talk to a guy like that on the phone and, you know, to have him say, oh, hey, kiddo, you're recording and your production sounds great. I'm going to have a really good time mixing this, so... It made me really feel good about myself and the work that I've done on the record, so it was really, really cool. I was so, so happy.
Yeah, not only the experience of having someone like that work on your material, but having a good compliment like that on everything that you've worked on in the past, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. It was really, really cool. It's you know, makes it worthwhile.
Well, let's toss to one of your tunes right now. What would you like to would you like us to play?
You know what? Buddy Kiss seems to be the theme of the. Of the hour, so you can just go ahead with that one.
Let's do it up. Bloody Kiss on the Grind. This is Late Fallen.
Go ahead.
Welcome back to The Grind. You just heard a track by Late Fallen out of Toronto, Ontario. That was Bloody Kiss, a self-titled a title track off of their brand new album. Now, I understand that you are a band that is not afraid of radio play. A lot of times, especially in the sort of the punk rock community, as soon as a band sort of makes it big or gets some radio play, you have a lot of people tossing out that, oh, you're a sellout, or that kind of label. What is your thoughts on getting radio play and getting it out to those people?
You know what? It's a fine line. I never liked the band or disliked the band because they got popular. I was never really a big fan of people that when they would say stuff like that. I mean, it's not like the band just sits the purpose. It says, "Oh, I'm going to write a song that's just going to go on the radio." I have so many friends in so many bands that write such good, hooky, great, great, great radio songs mm-hmm. that just never get a chance to be played on the radio. And there's, you know, vice versa, there's a lot of really, really bad music out there on the radio waves that I just don't think belongs out there.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a fine line. There's good and bad things that go along with it. When I write the music and when we all write the music together, and it's just we want to write a good song that I want to listen to and I want to have, fans that like to listen to and sing along and have fun. And if it gets picked up on the radio, great. It's just a tool for more people to hear it. So it's almost it's weird that people want to be fans of you when they only know you, but as soon as your neighbor starts to know your name, that's when you're not cool anymore.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's kind of weird.
It's a fickle, fickle world.
Yeah.
Now I've read a little bit about your recording process, and I understand that you've basically as a band have just continued to add things, like just you'll continually record things for a while, and then you had a large selection of music that you just sort of honed down into tracks that you wanted to see on your Bloody Kiss release.
Yeah, basically what we do is when we sit down and, you know, I start the writing process and I come up with an idea and I kind of work out the map of everything. Then I go to the band and go, hey, guys, here's another tune I'm kind of wanting to work on. So let's, you know, everybody put their two cents in and mm-hmm. we get going on. And then once we put 2-3 songs together, because I work in a recording studio, you know, I have a recording studio and everything, so then it's just a lot easier for us to jump in and do what we call pre-production. But a lot of times, because we actually spend decent amount of time on it, it's not really even pre-pro. It actually turns out to be full-blown recordings. So every time we record 3 songs with they're fresh in our heads, we jump in, we lay them down, and then the good thing is because we have time to live with them for a while before the actual record comes out, and then we can have an option of changing things around, or if we don't like it, you know, just simply dumping it. So then when we went into the Bloody Kiss, was I think we had honestly so many, probably 20, 30 songs recorded. And we ended up mixing, I think, about 18, and we just had to narrow it down to 12.
Now, do you find that a hard process, getting everybody involved, or even just as your band, trying to whittle down what you want on a record?
Or? Yeah, definitely. Everybody's got their personal favorites, and it's always hard. You know, we never really argue hard about it. We all kind of, you know, we have songs that we all kind of like, they could have been off the record, but, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of outside, we do take outside opinions, you know, good friends of ours that are in the industry. And, you know, we talked to Mike Barbiero, and he was a really big factor in, you know, deciding what records on. It was just really good to take his opinion, even though we didn't necessarily pick all the songs that he thought should have been on.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we sat down, and we're proud of the record that we have, and we're pretty comfortable with the songs that we got on.
Cool. Now, as a Canadian band, or as a Canadian in general, I guess, a lot of people should be familiar with Degrassi Junior High.
Yeah.
No, you guys had an opportunity to get yourselves on the Next Generation.
That's right.
A song on that, World on Fire. How did that come to be?
A really good friend of mine is a music writer for the show. He writes all the music, and I've known him for many, many years, and we collaborated together in a lot of different things. And one day I just dropped off the record to him and... or actually a few songs that we had recorded, which just before the record came out. And he ended up listening to it, and I think he was writing one of the episodes, and he just said, wow, I should throw in Late Fallen on just to kind of see what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And he did. He threw it up, and the producers of the show loved it, and they were really, really stoked about it. And so were we. I mean, it was really, really cool just to kind of, you know, it is a big popular show, especially even in the U.S. and Canada,
yeah.
And it really elevated the profile of the band a lot. We are really thankful for that because we got a big fan base just out of that. And then, And Degrassi was really, really happy with the two. And then after that, we ended up getting two more songs in the show. So in total, we had three features in that show, which is really, really cool.
Hey, good deal.
Totally.
Now, you guys have done a lot of big shows in the past. You played the Warped Tour a few years back, as well as Taste of Chaos last year. What stands out to you about big shows like that versus touring with a few of your friends' bands and that kind of stuff?
Well, you know what? I mean, playing shows for people is the most important. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you sometimes, to be honest, you know, playing to 300 packed people in a club opposed to, you know, 3,000 people in an arena, it can be a lot more fun. But I have to say, this part of the game for us, playing big shows, is just so much fun, and it's so, so neat to meet all these people, and you're exposed to such a big crowd, and it's just being an honor sharing stage with such big bands that, you know, like 30 Seconds to Mars and The Used and The Bronx and all these really, really cool bands that we got a chance to open for. Just really neat to hang out with them and, you know, exchange stories and talk to them and just kind of hang out. Everything is at such a bigger level.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, really fun. We love playing it, and we hope that we have a lot more of those.
Now, I've read that you, as a band, do a lot of things on your own terms, sort of DIY style. What sort of trials and tribulations have you run into with that? Either positive things where you have more control over what you're doing, or something where you've run into some roadblocks?
Well, I mean, a good thing about it is that, yeah, you're right. We're kind of, I think we're kind of being known out there as the stubborn bunch of guys for some reason. And, you know, it's just, we were able to do everything on our own so far, such as from doing the record to shooting the video. You know, everything was financed by us. And, you know, we all have our day jobs that we work, and we try to make every penny count and mm-hmm. do everything. And then we just didn't want to sell ourselves short. And, you know, because I know a lot of bands out there that have done it and it didn't work out for them. And we just wanted to control as much as we could and,
yep.
and be able to. And it didn't really have much to do with the artistic control of things. It was just, you know, in a business end of things, we were able to do everything. And, you know, we got the band to a point where we are really, really happy. And, you know, we are definitely hoping that we can help it go further along by, you know, involving ourselves with the right people, with the right labels.
And most definitely.
Right publishing companies and that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, of course, the doors are open. We're very gladly accepting them.
Yeah. Well, I think it stands out to people, not just within the industry, but music consumers as well, that, you know, this is a band that's not just, you know, we get up on stage and play our music and then we go back to the tour bus, and, you know, everything else needs to be dealt with through our people or whatever. If you're more involved, there seems to be more of a solid sound to it, in my
Absolutely.
opinion.
And, you know, the band is self-managed, and we, you know, everybody has their own strengths as far as what we do. You know, I'm heavily involved with the music production and mm-hmm. day-to-day stuff as far as touring and, you know, tour logistics and getting hotels and organizing where we are and doing everything. And Greg is really good on, you know, booking the shows and dealing with the tours and that kind of stuff. Stefan does all the graphic design for the websites, and Bob is a great promoter as far as one-on-one and MySpace and Facebook goes. So we all have our strengths, and together, you know, we work really, really, really hard at promoting the band and trying to get the word out there about us. And, you know, we're really happy. It's nice having control over a lot of things.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, but it's, I got to be honest, you know, it'd be also nice to have some roadies to help us with the gear once in a while.
Yeah, it does kind of drag on you after a little bit.
You know, it gets a little tiring lifting up. We have a lot of gear, and it's pretty heavy.
Well, let's get to one more song here before we close it up. But before we do that, where can folks find you on the internet if they're looking for you? I think it's latefallen.com.
Yeah, it's latefallen.com or, of course, myspace.com/latefallen. We're on Pure Volume. .com/latefallen, and, you know, if you just type in latefallen in Google, it will a bunch of pages will show up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, is there anything else you want to shout out to any friends or anything you want to get out there before we wrap it up here?
I just hope that whoever hears the interview comes out to the show, check us out, check out a page, you know, leave us a comment, leave us a message, say hi, you know, go to iTunes, buy the CD, support us, and make sure that we can come back and see everyone, and that's about it. Hope you know, you enjoy our music, because we do.
Sweet. So Late Fallen on tour across Canada starting tomorrow, as of the fact you're hearing this about a week late. They're on tour right now. So check the MySpace page for the tour dates. And Vanya, I'll get you to select another one of your tracks here to leave us out of the interview.
It sounds good. Well, I guess you can go for the flight. That's going to be our next single, so you dig that one too.
Okay, The Fly, Late Fall, and On the Grind with Punk Radio Cast.
Stuff coming at you on the grind, number 24. Up next, we have the Classwar Kids. We're going to play a cut from their new release, A Strong People Need No Leader. This is Discontented and Apathetic.
Shattered.
everyone. Welcome back to The Grind. We are hanging out in Edmonton with a couple people from the Classwork Kids. How are you guys doing today?
Good. In Edmonton.
In Edmonton.
Doing awesome here in Edmonton.
Who all do we have here in the group?
Miles Sharp on drums.
Patio Lantern, guitar and vocals.
Dave, I do stuff.
I'm Megan and I play bass.
Now I understand you guys are sort of an anachronistic collective from Newfoundland. What does that bring for you, just different points of view that maybe a lot of people in Alberta or a lot of people in Toronto don't normally see? What stands out for you as something that you have to rally against?
We have a collective at home called the Apple Cart, and it's just basically a kind of general collective against racism, sexism, homophobia, mm-hmm. all the, you know, major points. And we do a lot of book tabling as well. And we actually had a bit of a problem when we first tried to book a show here because we were told that apparently nobody wants to play with anarchist bands.
Ah, okay.
And so we had to get, Mark did the show for us, but either way. So I guess it's just not really a common point of view here, maybe.
Is that something that you guys run into when booking dates across Canada?
Yeah, people like getting like bands that are like a similar sound together on a bill. They don't really like switching it up. We're not really particular at all about it. We like playing with whoever wants to play with us. We keep an open mind to the music.
As far as politics are concerned, we don't run into a whole lot of problems when booking, but we do run into some. I don't really understand why, because we're not solely anarchists in our views. We're just, you know, from the general left, and I think that a lot of what we do is to just try and unite leftists in general against the right, and it's weird to have people say like, oh well, we don't book anarchist bands or anti-fascist bands or leftist bands. Like, I don't understand.
People are too quick to just judge by that label, like, oh, it's going to be trouble if you guys play here, wrong crowd's going to show up, and just a lot of not knowing the message the meaning behind the message, right?
Exactly. And I mean, you know, we're a political band, but we're also a really fun band. We like to have a good time. We like to rock out, and yeah, it's just about bringing people together with music.
You guys are on your way back home to Newfoundland. You crossed all the way over to the islands, and how many dates you guys have left before you get home?
Maybe 2 weeks worth. We're playing 14 shows in 18, 19 days.
How's the tour gone so far?
It's been really good. I mean, the shows have been sort of hit and miss with like people coming out, but we've always, the crowds that we have drawn have been really intense, and they've had a lot of fun, and we've had a lot of fun playing with them.
Now you guys have a new record out. The name escapes me at the moment. I know it's a long one, but I can't think of it. It's on my notes, but
I'll let you talk about it.
It's A Strong People Need No Leader is the new album, and it's coming, well, yeah, it's out now, technically, yeah. But yeah, it came out for tour. It's, yeah, pretty good.
What else do you say about your record? Like, I hope you like it.
Yeah.
What kind of response have you had? I know it was released through the internet, and we're getting the flashing light. I'm not sure what that means, but it was released through the internet. You guys, do you embrace the open music sharing on that? And what about the flip sides? Is there anything that really creeps you out about the fact that people can download stuff that you work hard on for free?
I like that people can get it for free, because, you know, well, I mean, not that it's terribly expensive, but not everyone can afford it, not everyone can get out to shows, and I like that it kind of makes it a little more accessible, because I just feel like we make it for people to listen to.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I download a lot of music anyway, so I mean, like, usually I buy what I like, so if I've downloaded it and I really like it and I want to support the band, I'll go out and I'll buy it anyway, even though I can get it for free. So, you know, if people want to support us financially, then great. And if they don't and they just want to come out and sing along, then that's cool too.
I'm too old to know how to download. I have no idea how to download songs.
Dave's like, what are these CDs? They're like small, shiny records.
Grandpa Dave doesn't know how to use a computer.
I don't know how to use any of those downloads. I've never downloaded because I don't know how.
It's true, he doesn't.
Yeah.
What have you guys run into on this tour, either positive or negative, that's really stood out for you while crossing Canada? Something you might maybe didn't expect, a certain scene somewhere, or maybe a band that you played with?
Can I talk about the $50 thing?
Yes.
Tell us.
Okay. In Chilliwack, we played a show, and should I name the name?
Yes. Okay. Let's let everyone know that this band is shitty.
I don't really want to bash anyone, though.
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
When it comes to time to say the name, we'll get...
Okay. Well, we were playing a show in Nanaimo, and or Chilliwack. Chilliwack, sorry. And so we got there, and there was a lot of kind of messing around. It wasn't terribly well organized, but, you know, that happens. Yeah. What can you do? And we wound up not having a PA. And one of the bands who we were supposed to play with decided that they were not going to play the show, and then said to the girl who was running it, who wasn't very old, like kind of a young girl, and said to her, "You're going to give us $50. She was like, "I don't have $50. They're like, "We'll take you to a bank." And took her to a bank, made her give her $50 out of her own pocket, and didn't play the show. And it was, I mean, like, we played anyway because, you know, okay, we made a makeshift PA. It didn't sound great, but...
Do what you can.
Yeah, and...
We still had fun.
It was, yeah, it was still really fun. And, you know, I just thought that was just so absurd to be like, "We'll take you to a bank. Are you the mob?"
Yeah, you're, like, basically holding up your promoter.
Yeah,
like,
which I thought was...
And the name of that band was?
They're called Buried Beside Her. And we confronted them afterward about it and said, like, "You don't think that this is a really shitty thing to do to somebody?" And they sort of said, like, "Man, music is just business." And at that point, we kind of went off on them. Yeah. Like, "No, it's not. It's not music is this. It's not this."
It's heart and soul.
So, yeah. It's just like, you know, if any promoters out there are thinking about booking them, just so that you know, that's the kind of stuff that they've been involved in.
They'd maybe be better off playing with...
I'm not saying that that's the kind of thing that they... That's not the kind of thing they do every single time. Maybe they're really nice people. Maybe they were just having a really bad day. But it was a shitty thing to do.
First impression for us, anyway, to see that. And that was pretty shitty.
Best.
Yeah. We would have liked to play with them, but if they're going to do stuff like that and just take off and drop it off, the person that take the $50 and run, we're just like, whatever. We got no time for that at all.
That's not cool.
But,
not cool
I mean, on the flip side, we have played with a lot of really, really, really cool bands, like Fiesta Finger and AMF and Horny Coroners and FIS and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, all the promoters we've worked with. Easy Brothers are so great. Yeah. Rio Bent.
Yeah. Nice.
Too many to name. But, like, and all the promoters we worked with are so, so good, and they've been really nice. And, like, there's been so many people who've just kind of reached out to us and, like, given us a place to stay and giving us food and just, you know, so... I mean, you run into some kind of crappy stuff, but for the most part, like, I found everyone, like, it to be, like, an overall really positive kind of experience.
If nothing else, traveling and being on tour always reaffirms my faith in people. Because it's just like, you know, you're a band from away, you're down on your luck sometimes, and sometimes, you know, you're having a great time. But all the time, people are coming out, they're having a good time, they're friendly, giving you a place to stay, you know. Yep. You always run into the kind of people who will give you the shirts off their backs.
For sure.
Every now and again you run into some, you know, shady business, but it seems like people always triumph over that anyway. Any time that we've had a bad time, there have been more people there to pick us up when we're down. So
awesome.
Traveling always reaffirms my belief that the world is just full of great people.
You may run into a couple idiots here and there, but upon average, humanity still is working out. Are there any bands that you guys haven't had a chance to play with that you'd like to share the stage with or even just hang out after a show with?
Whenever we roll into a new town and there's a new band, we're always excited to see them, watch them play, and hang out afterwards. I can't think of anyone offhand that we haven't played with that we're really, you know...
I'm stoked to see Broadcast Zero.
Oh, yeah. Broadcast Zero, there we go. Yeah, no, but every band that we're booked to play with, I'm excited to see.
I mean, yeah, there's countless bands who we won't get to play with, but, I mean, there's just so much good music around that, I mean, you know, despite the fact you might not be able to get to play with all of them, it's just, you know.
What is a band that really influences you guys, or just a certain style of music?
I don't know, I guess we kind of, what do you think we sound like?
That's always a really hard question. People are always like, "So what do you guys play?" I'm like, "I don't know."
Propaganda.
Propaganda influenced Dave. I'm really big on The Clash. I love The Clash.
Yeah,
I like a lot of pop punk bands too. We cover some Screeching Weasel and some Queers.
Yeah, kind of Screeching Weasel-ish.
I guess, yeah. You can see, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, some of the people sort of make up their own mind, because everyone's going to come up to you and say, like, oh, you sound like this band, you sound like that band. And it's like, well, thank you, appreciate that. But it's always a different response. Yeah. One guy told me he sounded like Oscar the other day. So.
But as for, I mean, content, I think a lot of it's just influenced by, like, our own personal politics. And, just, you know, it's mostly what the songs that we write are about.
I understand there's some members in the Brat Attack as well.
David.
Off hiding in the corner there. What do you want to talk about the Brat Attack for a little bit?
What's coming up with the...
Alder, Brat Attack are not broken up. I just live in Newfoundland now. New album out in late fall on Rebel Time Records, and the album's been out for a year and a half. We just had an A1 to release the album because we had a falling out with Underground Operations, and then we're being courted by another label, and then nothing happened with that. So we were going to do it on our own again, because we did our first two albums on it by ourselves. And then Rebel Time was like, hey, we want to do the album. And we were like, yes, because Rebel Time is a political punk rock label.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
And it was exactly like the type of people we want to work with. So.
Anything else you guys want to get out there before we wrap things up? Maybe toss to one of your songs? What should we be playing here by the Class War Kids?
Break Me?
Break Me probably would be the good one.
All right, Break Me, Class War Kids on the Grind. Welcome back to the Grind. We're just wrapping things up here with the Class War Kids. We've got to get them in on stage pretty soon here at the Wunderbar Gasthaus and something German name. It's a pretty cool bar. If you're ever in Edmonton, you should check it out. What's your MySpace page, guys?
www.myspace.com/theclasswarkids.
Excellent. And I understand you guys are up on CBC Radio 3. You can stream your album on there as well.
Yeah, if anyone wants to not pay for the album and just listen to it and go to CBC Radio 3 and it's up there.
At least get a feel for what you might be getting into when you get to a Class War Kids show, right?
Exactly, but you won't get the CD, which has a wonderful unicorn on it.
It does. It's magical. And you won't get all the crazy stage antics.
We will have to get some video of that later on. All right, guys, well, thank you very much.
Ready? Ready? One, two, three. You're checking out the grind on Punk Radio Cast.
Great, now my equipment is broken.
Poison bubbles!
And possessed.
This is From the Mailbox.
First band on this volume's From the Mailbox section is a three-piece from Toronto. They are called Rackshot, and the tune that we just heard there was called Party's Over. Now, these guys have a lot of recording in the future for them. Next month, they'll be working on a 7-inch, and then early next year, they'll be working on a full-length. Of course, they'll be touring after that. And if you want to check out more from them, myspace.com/Rackshot. One more track. This is Bad Habits. We'll be right back. Up next on From the Mailbox, this is a very special treat for you guys. Brand new EP, not even released yet. This is the fine print. First track off of it is called The Gentle Art of Avoiding Uncomfortable Decisions.
Honey, it just, that's not my idea of restful, all right? This is restful. Hanging around the house, just being lazy, and that's what I want to do. I just want to hang around, be lazy, listen to the ball game, and, you know, drink a couple hundred beers and maybe smoke an occasional cigar. We'll be right back.
Coming out of Regensburg, Bern, Germany, this is another track by The Fine Print off of their brand new EP, out October 2008, Exercising Exorcism. This track right here is called Left Unsaid. Left Unsaid by The Fine Print, probably my favorite track on this EP. Before we get into the last two songs, I just want to quickly apologize to anybody who is German, speaks German, knows German, and knows that I just butchered the pronunciation of that town name.
I'm
If you want to find these guys on the web, you can hit up thefineprint.de or do the MySpace thing, myspace.com/thefineprintrock. And last track here is called Bucket. And then we're going to get into the Living with Lions and Wilhelm Scream information interview segment session you will enjoy. Welcome to the second half of Volume 24 of The Grind. Coming up a little close to the end of the show, we've got a chat with our buddy Brian, bassist from Wilhelm Scream. Right now, though, we're going to get into some new friends that we made in Winnipeg. It was worth the 12-hour drive, I'll have to say. This is Living with Lions off of their brand new album, Make Your Mark. This is She's a Hack.
Yeah! money, man.
Hey everyone, welcome to another volume of The Grind with Burnside here in Winnipeg today. We're with a couple guys from Living with Lions. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
Doing pretty good.
Very well.
How's the tour going so far?
Oh man, it's been awesome. Wilhelm's rad dudes, just been having a good time. Went to the hospital yesterday, that sucked. Yeah. Other than that, playing lots of baseball, drinking a couple beers here and there, so I don't know, can't complain. Yeah, exactly.
So you guys had to drop out of a show last night in Edmonton, was it?
Regina.
Yeah. Due to some illness. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Basically, our singer got sick before we left for tour.
Yeah.
Stupid stuff like that, and it just got worse, and then we had to cancel, which sucked. We've never canceled a show before, so. Because of that, anyway.
Big apologies to everyone in Regina. We apologize. We'll be back.
Jackasses.
Yeah. I'm going to actually revoke that apology. We did you guys a favor, just to let you know if you're watching.
You guys have spent some time on the Vancouver music scene, but originally, I understand there's three members that moved from Medicine Hat out to the coast. What prompted that move?
Pretty much, like, we grew up just, like, going to, like, I guess punk rock shows, like listening to bands like Belvedere, and there's a band from our hometown called One Shot Left that we all really looked up to, and pretty much we just like went to shows and stuff and started playing in bands, and then, you know, we graduated from high school and we were kind of like, you know, we could move to Calgary and do whatever, but, you know, let's move to Vancouver, you know, like, for just out of the blue, like, I'd never even been there before. It's just like, let's try it, you know, why not? And so we moved to Vancouver, we lived there for a bit, and it was really hard meeting people because I don't know, Vancouver's got a lot of snobby people.
Exactly.
So, and especially when you say you're from some small town like Medicine Hat, Alberta, they're just like, who are you? Exactly, like, who are you guys? Like, we're like, so we just pretty much hung out, and finally we started going to shows and stuff, and then pretty much I met Chase and another dude from a band in Vancouver called Textbook Tragedy named Bill, and I just met them at a show, a Daggermouth show, and we just started talking, just started seeing him out at the bar and stuff, just started hanging out, and then Chase came over one night, and then introduced us to Matt, because Matt was homeless at the time. He was moving from Abbotsford, and so Matt moved into our house that we all lived in, and then
AKA the Dude Manor.
He moved in before it became Dude Manor, because it was Chase and Matt's fault, because they brought all of that upon it. We were innocent. We were innocent, like, young Alberta kids who knew nothing, and then these guys bring in all their friends and stuff. But it was cool. It was cool. Like, they pretty much introduced us to everyone, and then everyone just started coming over and hanging out. We started partying because it was just pretty much what we wanted to do. So.
Now, you've woven a lot of information, not so much information, but just I guess sort of a feel of the host that you guys lived in, and you recorded your first EP there?
We did pre-production down there.
Pre-production?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess you could call it pre-production.
It's like drinking a couple beers and planning what you're going to do the rest of the day, right?
More of us just like sitting downstairs with a microphone being like, how the fuck do we do this?
Collaborations for sure.
Now, your new album, Make Your Mark, was released just last month on Black Box Recordings.
Yep.
What kind of support have you had from the label since the relationship sort of began?
Oh, man, the relationship we have with those guys is amazing. They're unreal, man. They pull out every fucking stop for us.
Yep.
Sorry, I don't mean to cuss.
It's internet radio.
Okay, wicked. All right, cool.
Fuck.
I want to change a couple of my answers from before.
But no, They've shown nothing but support to us. Like, they've been great. They're just really understanding dudes and have supported us fully. I don't know. I don't think that we could possibly ask for any more in a label. You know what I mean? Like, I've heard some horror stories from friends of labels, and we've never had any problem with these guys. Like, they're great. They're fucking great dudes.
Now, you went out to Ontario to record your new album. What was the reasoning for that? So just get away from the distractions of home?
Yeah. Definitely, we recorded in Vancouver the first EP, and then It was cool, but like the problem is that we were all still working and stuff.
Yeah.
And because we didn't have a label at the time, we had nobody, like we were all paying out of our pockets. So what we had to do is do the night shift, which basically meant we'd go in to record at 8 o'clock at night until 7 in the morning,
yeah,
and then go to work the next day.
Just continue to burn yourself.
Out. Exactly. Yeah. For like 10 days, I don't know. It was messed up. Like we were just so screwed up at work, and it just wasn't very much fun. And I don't know, it was kind of distracting too, like having just like Vancouver around, like, you know, you're still hanging out with like everybody, but. Versus when we went to Toronto, we got to just kind of like focus, you know, we didn't have any outside distractions, like aside from, I guess, text messaging and shit. But like, you know, we were just there, we were pretty, and it's, we were snowed in, we didn't have a car. So we were forced to just, exactly, you know, and like we were just stuck and it was freezing cold outside because we're from the West Coast. Like, you know, like we don't, it was freezing.
We had dollar beers at the local bar though. That was cool.
That was
amazing. And the guys that were working on our studio with us, they claimed to be too old to go out, but I think, the biggest accomplishment we walked away from with this recording was bringing those self-proclaimed old fogies that were doing RCD out and getting them back in the bar scene again. Like, there are some smoking babes in Oshawa. That's all I gotta say. Jesse Smith, Jason Bone, if you're ever gonna watch this, you're welcome. Just let you know.
What do you guys think about the fact that you all live together and you're constantly working on like new ideas and, you know, over breakfast you're like, hey, what about this song? How much do you think that led to the sound of your new recording and recordings in the past?
I think everything. Like, we all pretty much, it was just messed up because, I mean, we're just random dudes from Alberta. We moved to Vancouver with me, Chase, and Matt, and it was like, we've all been listening to like the same bands, you know, like we never spoke to, like, you know, just like we'd been growing up on the exact same stuff. So, I mean, we talk about like Lifetime and like bands like Saves the Day and
stuff.
Living
with fucking lions. Yeah.
I gave you a text.
Wicked?
Come hang out with us.
All right. Fuck yeah, man.
That guy's a fucking asshole.
I don't even know that guy.
What band is he playing again?
Whatever. But, basically we grew up listening to the exact same stuff. And it was pretty, just a unified, solid vision of what we wanted to do, which is just, we were partying, we were having fun, we just wanted to do stuff that was fun and just hang out and play what we grew up on, you know? Because, I mean, in Canada anyways, there's a lack of that, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, 10 years ago, like, if you go to, like, we've gone to shows and played face-to-face covers, and the crowd's full of, like, 16 to 18-year-old kids, and they have no idea what the hell we're doing, you know? And it's a shock to all of us because we're not that much older than them, but like, you know, that was kind of what we were brought up on. So
you got to learn the roots before you start appreciating,
you know,
the music.
We got to learn to shred first, and then
this is Matt, by the way, the
sorry
late
for
comer.
Ruining the interview, by the way.
I'm just glad you guys played tonight. I got a phone call from Megan on Tuesday or Wednesday or sometime in the past couple of days, and she's like, oh, by the way, this is happening, just so you know, don't drive out to Winnipeg for this if this is just, you know, just in case. I was like, oh, I hope everything works out. So I was very happy to see you guys playing tonight.
We were really happy to play.
What are some current musical influences, maybe some bands that the general public might not be aware of that are really picking up on your radar?
H2O.
H2O?
Has new H2O CD.
Yeah,
it's
great.
And awesome.
Best CD this summer so far.
By far.
Really good.
Yeah.
Orgy. Prodigy. Prince. Anything by Weird Al, anything by Fred Penner.
Chinese Democracy Fred out, isn't it? Isn't Chinese Democracy out now?
It's gotta be out by now.
And it has to be a winner.
He had to sell it, he had to finally release it because he ran out of money.
Yeah.
He had no money, he had to claim bankruptcy, so he just sold the album and it's just garbage.
Check out Library.
Yeah, that band's good. They're from Vancouver.
Yeah.
I just recently really got into Bruce Springsteen. I mean, that's not really punk rock, but Bruce Springsteen is awesome, Springsteen, Kid Dynamite.
I say listen to all the old stuff first and then start looking for new stuff.
No Use
if
for
you
a
haven't
name.
Heard of it.
Hell yeah. What do you think of the new No Use album?
I haven't heard it.
You should check it out. It's a feel good hit of the summer or something.
Dick. We get Dick. That's right. Thank you.
We got to stop bringing video cameras to these things.
You do these things and you hope for maybe like the odd nipple of like
a female
or like a boob to maybe come out in the background. We get Dick. That's what we get. And I mean, we're proud of it at this point. We're okay with it. You know, if that could.
Nothing
that was
we
great.
Seen before, you know.
If that's all we get.
Thank
then.
You. Thanks.
take what you get.
Is there anything else you guys want to get out before we close things up on this interview?
Broadway Calls. Friends in Broadway Calls, they're on Small Man in Canada. They're on Warped Tour right now. They're rad band. Fucking really cool guys. So.
One Shot Left from Medicine at Alberta.
No, I heard a rumor that One Shot Left, that Jeff came up to you guys and said, listen, we can't have you guys playing here as well. You need to move out to the West Coast. That's what he was telling me. Is he feeding me bullshit here?
I think so. I think that's a big crock of shit.
He's full of a lot of shit.
He's a great dude. I love Jeff. We were actually trying to get him to come and tour manage for us, but we only gave him a day notice.
Half a day.
Because we're not really the best. We're not really organized. We're pretty bad for that.
Yeah, and a 50-cent wage a day, you know? 50, 25, you know, we were bargaining for a while, but...
Sponsor a tour manager for only the cost of a coffee a day.
Like, Jeff, make big money, man. I
see lots of dick in the background of interviews.
Yeah, got dick, got quarters, you know, what more do you want? You know? But, yeah, obviously, didn't come out with us.
There's a really rad band, too, from Windsor, Ontario, called Blurt. Mm-hmm. Those guys are awesome.
Totally.
The Artist Life, they're cool.
Artist Life from Toronto. Yep. They're awesome. Orphan Choir from Windsor as well.
Those guys are you guys getting excited to see... are you fans of the Full Blast? They're reuniting
for that, Ontario.
Yeah.
I mean, the singer from Full Blast is one of the part owners of Black Box, so we don't really have a choice, you know? We're forced.
Makes
like,
us like them.
It was in our contract, you know? They're like... Sign?
We like them very much.
Yeah.
They got Bri there too with the Well Hound.
Oh, exactly. So, yeah. so is he doing double duty that night?
He's kind of like, he is doing double duty, but he's kind of just making us amp for the Full Blast reunion show.
Yeah. It's going to be
every
great.
Every night we see him, it's like, makes us like him a little more every night. Yeah. Probably by that show, we'll like him. He'll be our friend.
Yeah. I have the biggest hate on for that guy. He's so stupid. I don't know.
Just so you know, we'll be talking to him after, so we'll see what he has to say about you. We'll cut it together.
Make sure you tell him. Hey, Bri, Chase and, Shane and Matt and Lauren, they were saying you're a stupid idiot. So... What do you have to respond?
Fight by the biker acts at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, man. And we're going to bring our fucking metal rings that goes around your fingers. What are those called again?
Brass knuckles.
Yeah. Bing, bing, bing.
We had a conversation last night with Brian, and I was telling him some stories about a McDonald's in Regina. Anyways, he just laughed, and he's like, man, like, we're just not as rock and roll as you guys. And I was like, no, that's not true. It's just you guys have a lot more self-respect for yourselves than we do. We're sleazy pieces of shit.
In the end.
You'll be looking for the fire.
Paul McKenzie from The Real McKenzie. You're listening to The Grind on Punk Radio Cast.
That's right. This is The Grind on punkradiocast.com. Speaking of the McKenzies, that, of course, an interview that will be coming up in September. This weekend, however, Lagwagon, the St. Catharines, and Tat playing Saskatoon. Of course, I am not going to miss that. So we'll be getting some interviews with hopefully all three of those bands, maybe some other stuff too. What else is coming up? Stacey Steele is going to be crazy busy down in Calgary. She has, let's see here, an interview with a band called The Hours coming up. Also, in September, you may have heard Friends of the Station, The Creep Show. They are touring with Anti-Flag, and she'll be hitting up their show in Calgary on the 4th of September. And packaging some stuff for us, interview-wise, music-wise. You're not going to want to miss it. Also, speaking of stuff you don't want to miss, I think The Grind might have developed a bit of a fetish for lions. I mean, we had Living with Lions. That interview just wrapped up. That last track that we heard there was called Cold Coffee. And we've got an interview with a band called Frankie McQueen and a band called The Lions. That's going to be another Stacey Steele show, and that's going to be coming on the grind in probably the next couple weeks or so. We'll be hitting the punkradiocast.com airwaves with that. Of course, I always like to say keep your eyes open and peeled to the Grind's MySpace page, myspace.com/burnside780, and click on the video link. We've got 7 new videos as of right now that are uploaded, and whole bunch of stuff in the works, including, unfortunately, I was trying to get all this stuff done so I could launch this at the same time as the Punk Radio Cast show, but life just got in the way and I'm completely out of time. So over the next couple days or so, maybe I'll say safely a week, I'd like to get not only the Living with Lions and a Wilhelm Scream and Class War Kids live performance and some extra interview footage uploaded for your eyes there to feast upon. Also, let's not forget about the 2000 Voices tour back in June with the Flatliners, Strike Anywhere, and This Is a Standoff, as well as a band that we like to call Carpenter. A whole bunch of stuff. I know there's more stuff that's just sitting on my computer saying, hey, when are you going to get to this? What's going on with that? But all in due time, I guess. So just keep checking the MySpace. Just check the web. Check punkradiocast.com. If you see right now on the Blogzilla, we've got the 7 new interviews, videos, and everything that I've got uploaded there. A lot of it is Boonstock stuff. There's a really funny interview, or video, I should say, with Daniel Wesley. If you listen to the interview, you probably knew what was going on. It's not well hidden, I'll say. A whole bunch of stuff up there, constantly getting updated. Thanks to Jenna and Danny for putting that stuff, all that news up on the Blogzilla, so you guys can keep track of what crazy shit The Grind is up to. Let me tell you about what we're listening to right now. This is We Built This City on Debts and Booze, off of the infamous Career Suicide release by a Wilhelm Scream. Got some good news for you, for Wilhelm Scream fans. Just listen to the interview and you'll know what I'm talking about. Right before we get to it, we're just going to listen to the tail end of that, and then, let's do it up. This is volume 24 of The Grind on punkradiocast.com. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, welcome back to The Grind, volume whatever the hell we're on right now. I've lost track. We've got so much stuff coming at you here on Punk Radio Cast. Punk Radio Cast sponsored this tour. This is the Famous Friends and Fashion Pelts tour. Yourselves, a Wilhelm Scream, and Living With Lions. You also had another couple bands helping out? Or am I just making shit up here?
The Artist Life is on the London and Toronto shows.
Okay.
And they're badass.
What else is happening in Ontario? You know what I'm talking about.
Some band that I used to play in is getting back together to put the final nail in the coffin. We're just gonna finish it. We're gonna go and do what
one
we.
Last hurrah.
Yeah, and like, you know, get her done.
Get her done.
So yeah, no. Well, it just came about. I had 3 weeks at home. I was in Australia. I talked to Ian. Ian was just like, dude, you want to do this? And like Brandon Eady, the promoter in London, he had already put us on the bill as special guests.
Oh, really?
And we're just like, you fucking bastard.
Now we got to actually do this.
Now we have to do it. So.
And you're going to be a busy guy that night because you're doing the double duty, right?
Yes, I am. I figure that at the end of our set, I'm going to sit down cross-legged and just start pounding beers. Like at the end of the Wilhelm set, cross-legged on the stage, just like like that, if I feel better by then. So, feeling a little under the weather.
We understand. We might be catching some vomitus coming from you here today.
I think I got all of it out.
Okay.
And no, it wasn't because of drinking, Mom. I ate something bad. It must have been like bad poutine. No, not poutine. Like a bad veggie burger or something. BK's trying to get me, I think. So, yeah, no. We finished our set and I was like, whoa. And it just kept coming out, and now I think I'm cleansed.
You need a good cleansing every once in a while, and why not? Why not after a set, right?
Spiritual, emotional, and physical.
There you go.
In this case, you know.
A couple lineup changes. Well, one big one since we last talked to you a couple summers ago, I guess it was. New guitarist.
Yes.
How's he fitting into the fold?
He's awesome. He's like the best person on the planet ever. He never gets angry. He's like so like, oh gosh, oh god, I'm sorry I left the lights on the van, guys. Oh gee, you know, like.
So would you say he's your whipping boy right now? Is he the new guy, so you're taking it on him? Or are you being nice?
I think we all fuck with each other equally, but like, Mike's good with it though. He's really good with it. And he's the best guitar player in the history of any genre of music ever. Maybe, yeah.
Jury's still out on that, but we're waiting for the results, and they're tabulating. It's looking good so far.
500,000. Okay.
Just a narrow down.
Yeah, okay.
I'm excited. Vinyl fans everywhere are excited. You have the career...
Oh, okay. The Career Suicide out?
We
have the Mute Print coming out on vinyl, too. The vinyl press people... I forget the name of the website now.
Pirate Press?
It's the website where they have, like, a board of committees, and they all vote on a certain... album that they want.
The Vinyl Collective.
Vinyl Collective. Yes. I talked to one of those guys in Calgary. Oh. And they're super stoked on it, and we're super stoked on it. We're stoked to have Career Suicide as well.
Excellent, yeah.
Yeah. We brought those to Australia with us, and they sold like hotcakes. And I don't know. It's cool that kids are so passionate about buying vinyl again, you know? It's awesome.
Do you think that's a trend that's just going to continue with like more and more things? Like you can get whatever you want available off the internet, but just to have that tangible, you know, you're actually paying for something and you're going to get something out of it, right?
I think it's not even the fact that it's vinyl. I think it's the fact that you get this nice giant piece of like artwork and you have like this large, like awesome thing that you can either play or put on your wall or you know, do whatever. You can use it as a fucking frisbee for all I care, but like kids seem to like to buy it, so
The kids are doing these days, you gotta get it out there for them.
Exactly, you know, like we try to sell CDs and CDs aren't like the main focus for us, you know, like selling CDs is not, it's just touring and playing shows and getting kids out to the shows and getting people excited.
Basically, you release a CD to support the tour.
Yeah, pretty much.
Instead of vice versa like it used to be.
It's like touring is the main function of the band, you know, like we work our lives around touring, you know, everything gets put on hold, which is kind of sad.
How tough is that for you? Because I'm friends with you on MySpace, on Facebook, and I've seen the odd Facebook status.
You're away from your girl a lot.
Yes, I am.
And how is that? That's gonna be rough, eh?
It sucks because she lives many thousands of miles away. And I don't know, we make it work though. Like, she comes and visits, and I was there for Christmas and New Year's last year, and with help from me and from Black Box Full Blast, I landed her an internship in Toronto.
Oh, hey, right on.
So when it's funny, she's gonna be working in Canada while I'm over in Europe, which sucks. I'm sorry. And but I do get to spend a month with her when that tour is over, and then I fly back to New Bedford to write the new record with the guys.
New record. Are you guys going to go with Bill Stevenson again?
Of course we are.
How can you not go back to Blasting Room Studios?
It just wouldn't be right, you know? Yeah. I don't think there's anyone on this planet that can capture how we want to sound on a record than Bill Stevenson and Jason Livermore and the rest of the crew there. Like, they're all amazing people. And it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fun to be there, you know? It's a good environment.
During the set tonight, someone mentioned a little Nitro issue.
Oh!
What's the story behind that?
We're not on that label anymore.
What's happening with Nitro? Like,
we don't know.
We still didn't know what was going on.
I don't know. So. We haven't talked to them.
Hey, Nitro, get a hold of these guys, for Christ's sake. Hey. Let them know what's going on.
Call me. No, they don't have my number. I don't have a cell phone, so I stay out of this. I'm just like back.
I was not involved.
We'll let Nuno make all the comments.
Yeah.
I just made a really crappy comment about Regina, and that's all. Not that I hate Regina. I love Regina. Last night's show was awesome. It's just
you guys were doing it just yourselves and an opening band? Because
there were two opening bands added. I don't remember their names. They were screamo bands.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I got to say about that. That's it.
Moving along.
Yeah.
A Wilhelm scream. Pardon me. Thanks a lot. Blood pressure is at its now. Seven becomes a master now. Greediest sons of a bitch alive. You came to bleed our city dry. Your ashes and dust to us. Bought some money, fucked it up. The greediest sons of a bitch alive won't buy us all. Backpedaling and reaching like you're putting out a fire. You practice your plans in trees while you drift over the wire. Pardon me, well, thanks a lot.
What's coming up? You said you're hitting the studio eventually after working on some new material.
Yeah.
Some new more tours. You were off in Europe earlier, and
we're going back
all over the place.
Yeah, we're going back. The last tour was amazing. We started in Moscow, and then we went from like Moscow to Greece, and then Greece to like the rest of mainland Europe. Then we flew back to Boston for a day, then flew to LA, and then flew straight to Australia. So we like that whole Eastern part, we covered
dominated.
Most of it. Yeah.
What are the scenes like there in Moscow or Greece? It's not something you'd normally see, but
it's full of kids who are really appreciative of any band that goes to the trouble to get there. And like, we ended up making some great friends and people that hopefully we'll see again, because it's not the easiest thing to get into to Russia.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. A lot of paperwork out of the
Yeah, like that. Yeah. That and Australia too, but Australia is awesome. Probably our most like, I don't know how to say it, like a tour that we really put like kept us like
just
inspired us.
Re-energized
like, oh yeah, definitely. Like the kids there were absolutely amazing, and we can't wait to go back there either. We can't wait to go back to Europe too, or the UK.
You guys are gonna have to invent a time machine just to get to all these places that you want to get to and that everyone wants to see you at.
Yeah, so some sort of teleportation thing.
It's in the works.
Thingy, I don't know.
All right, man. Well, anything else you want to get out there? Any recommendations? Any new bands that you've been exposed to that should let the PRC listeners know about?
I'm sure most of the people on Punk Radio Cast know about Polar Bear Club. Mm-hmm. I fucking love that band. And like, I've recently started to keep up with Emmett, their drummer,
okay,
who I had met many years earlier, he was drumming in Numb More Black when Numb More Black played with Full Blast. And I was just like, I know you.
Familiar.
I've met you before, you know? So, Polar Bear Club. Who else? I don't know. Put me on the spot here.
No pressure.
I don't know. Living with Lions, amazing. The Artist Life, who we're playing with in Toronto.
Just to let you know, Living with Lions, they were cutting you down pretty hard in their interview.
I know. They're a bunch of pricks.
Yeah. As long as you're aware of that.
Well, that's the, like, them as people, they're horrible, horrible people. And I consider myself to be not so horrible. So I'm still, like, we're more than halfway through the tour. I'm still giving them, like, the benefit of the doubt. Yep. But I think tomorrow, no. I think it just came about, like, we needed a support act, and Ian.
You're the black box.
And Ian and I keep up, he's one of my best friends, so, you know. And I saw him at our Vancouver show, and Andy Full Blast was there too. Yeah. It was his birthday. He drunk dialed my father, so they have the same birthday together. So it's a thing. He calls him. He gets drunk and calls my dad.
How does that make you feel?
I think it's hilarious. I think it's amazing. So yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, I'll quit taking up all your time.
That's okay.
Do you want to do a quick little station ID for us?
Okay. This is the Famous Friends and Fashion Pelts tour, sponsored by PRC. You're listening to The Grind on Punk Radio Cast.
And of course, you are listening to a Wilhelm scream, "Get Mad, You Son of a Bitch," off of Career Suicide, because I like it so goddamn much. This is the last track we're going to be squeezing into Volume 24 of The Grind. Stay tuned for Volume 25. We've got The Lions and Frankie McQueen, Stacey Steele bringing that to you in the next couple weeks on punkradiocast.com. Can you catch your loves in order of how they die?